you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello again, this is Mickey Desai with another Nonprofit Snapcast episode, doing episode number 2 with Melissa Brown of Melissa Brown & Associates. Today, we're going to talk about the Association of Philanthropic Counsel. Isn't that right, Melissa?
Yes, sir. I am so excited to talk about this membership association for nonprofit consultants.
So APC, why don't I know about this already?
You know, we've been around 25 years, but we've always been kind of small. We have about 35, we have exactly 35 members right now, including several new members that have joined in the last couple of years. But we've never grown very large. And it's a shame because we are so committed to making sure that nonprofits of every size have access to professional counsel. It's one of our underpinnings. And we've been so careful about it, I guess, that we just haven't spread the word very well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Best kept secrets is not exactly a virtue, is it?
No, in this case, you know, the website is apcinc.org. Mm-hmm. So somebody would have to kind of know that secret to find us. Association of Philanthropic Counsel doesn't roll off the tongue easily.
No.
We haven't gone through a rebranding effort. So we're still with that long, cumbersome name, and apcinc.org is the website. So kind of got to dig around to find it.
I think APC, or Association of Philanthropic Counsel, has sort of a regal ring to it, if you can, you know, get past the syllables. But you know,
yeah, association. I don't know if we want to be regal, though. We want to be regal, a little bit too distant.
So, philanthropic counsel. This is legal counsel available to philanthropic organizations.
It started out as people providing fundraising counsel, so about philanthropy for nonprofits. But it's really grown to people who provide any kind of service for nonprofit or philanthropic organizations. So we have members who do strategic planning. I do data analysis and surveys. I don't do fundraising counsel directly. There are people who do fundraising counsel, annual fund, capital campaign, major gifts, all of that. Mm-hmm. We have people who write proposals, do prospect research. Some people who do some branding and website work. So it's a pretty much a range of services for philanthropic organizations at this point.
Does the name Ellen Bristol ring a bell?
Oh yeah, she's one of our members. She's been a member for about 4 or 5 years. She's great. She's in Florida. Yeah.
She and I were speaking yesterday, and she's like, "Mickey, you should join this group." And I'm thinking, okay, let me take a look at that and figure that out. So let's start from the top. Membership. APC is a membership association, right?
Yes.
Consisting of firms that advise philanthropic organizations on any number of things that you just talked about.
More too that I haven't figured out yet.
Is there an application process? How do I join as an organization?
Yes, there is. And one of the reasons that we were founded is to make sure that nonprofits get qualified consultants when they pick a consultant. So it's a membership in APC is sort of a, use the old fashioned term, good housekeeping seal of approval that the consultant who's involved is somebody who meets certain ethical procedures, who commits to conflict of interest, avoiding conflict of interest. And so we have statements about that, and who's been essentially supported by at least three of the 6 references that they submit. So there's an application form. There is an application fee. It's $100. And it's then folds into the membership fee when application is accepted. And so the membership committee takes very seriously, you know, the referrals. We ask for 6 people, but we contact 3 because people's schedules are, you know, it just makes more sense to have a lot of choices. We ask people to review and sign the code of ethics, which commits somebody to continuous learning about being a consultant, about being ethical, about being how they interact with their clients. You know, we're transparent about our fees. We don't do anything on percentage, of course, because that's unethical in the profession overall, but we state it again. The head of the firm and then all of the members of their staff, if they have one, commit to treating the nonprofit fairly. We commit to DEIA as part of the membership process. So DEIA, diversity, equity, access, and inclusion. So we're really we're trying to live our values. And in order to do so, we do have a bit of a barrier for membership. It takes somebody, an hour maybe to fill out the form. And then it takes the membership committee maybe a month or two to reach the references. And that's key.
Pretty fast, I got to say, for a lot of organizations, it takes them a lot more than a month to call references. That's pretty quick.
We have a good membership committee. There's several people and they divide it up and they do a great job.
Yeah. So the website is apcinc.org. You're the past chair. Am I reading this correctly?
For 2 years. I rotated office chair in June of 2021. Our current chair is Dave Coyne. He's at the Sheridan Group in Washington, D.C. I'm still on we call it an executive committee. Every firm has a voting seat on the board. So we have an executive committee that functions as an operating organization in the interim months between board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a seat on that. They still let me play.
So I like the idea that there's a code of ethics and that you apply the seal of approval to organizations that are members. I think that's really cool. Holding them to a code that doesn't exist for the rest of the working world amongst the philanthropic sector. I think that's a really good idea. Do you have any information that says your members are better at doing the diversity and inclusion game or better at doing strategic plans?
That's a great question. My role is data collection, and we've talked about doing an assessment, if you will, mm-hmm. of people who engage our services and then the people who inquired but didn't engage. I was involved in a study when I worked at the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. Oh gosh, this must have been about 1996. So it's old data now. But at that point, the study gave organizations a certain amount of money. I can't remember what it was. And they could hire a consultant or they could just use the money for their operations. And organizations applied to be part of it. At that time, the organizations that hired a consultant improved their practices better, but it was not necessarily because of the consulting engagement. It was because they knew they were being observed. So I'm a little worried about how to structure that study.
Yeah.
Because of that background.
Yeah. There's a name for that effect. I can't think of it right now, but my background.
It's like the Hawthorne effect or something.
Exactly.
Because you know you're being watched, you behave differently.
Very famous study early on in what was the beginnings of industrial organizational psychology as it existed, that a firm walked into a plant to just experiment and see what would improve productivity in the plant. And they found their findings included the statement that even turning the lights off in the plant increased productivity. And why? Because those people knew they were being judged. That's why.
Now, are we any different than any other consulting group? Of course, we think we are, but I'm looking behind it.
Right. That's hilarious. So you've mentioned the term rebranding at least once in our conversation so far. Is that something that APC is going to try to do soon?
We are reevaluating our mission, vision, and values. We started this process with the help of a consultant from Washington, D.C., SOAR Community Network, and we're almost done with it. It'll be a few weeks. And we are putting out front and center our commitment to DEI. It's always been there. But as firms, each one of our firms has that commitment. We did a survey and, 98% agreed 100% that their firm is committed to DEIA. The 2% gap was somebody who was at a 4 instead of a 5 and on a Likert scale. So we know our firms are very committed to DEIA, and we want to reflect it in the values and the mission and vision of the organization. That's where we talk about access. All charities should have access to a qualified consultant. Some of us even do free webinars on a regular basis. There's two of our members in Texas do free webinars about basic fundraising processes every week, and they do it in part because of that access issue.
It's, I can't wait to do the deep dig for my own purposes. I am seriously considering about becoming a member too, and not just because of Ellen Bristol's ambassadorship on the topic, but everything you guys do just sounds like the right thing to me, just bringing the diversity and equity issue to the surface for anybody who practices in the field is something we all need to be doing. Having some accountability to continuing education within our fields is something that we should all be doing anyway. But you know, having a structure around that just makes a ton of sense to me. And I'm gonna think about this very critically. But so far, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. We have an event coming up in January. It's an online only forum. So anybody who's a consultant who's interested will be eligible, if you will. They don't have to travel anywhere or anything. And that particular forum is focusing on the business of the business. So how to recruit, I don't know all the topics. I haven't seen them yet. So the types of things we've talked about in the past are pricing structures. How do you do sliding fee scale? How do you do value-based pricing? That's one of the topics that we've discussed. It's been very helpful for consultants, especially people kind of new to the business, who are like, well, do I do hourly? Do I do value-based? When do I collect my fees? To hear from some of the people who've been doing this in different ways in the past.
Right.
We've also done a lot of stuff around recruiting. How do you review resumes using a rubric? How do you, instead of, our usual filters for, oh, look, they went to a school I know about, or, oh, look, they did a job I once did before, you know,
right.
All the things that introduce bias, that's the kind of topic that we've talked about. So the January forum is really about the business of the business. And I would recommend it to any consultant at any stage in their career. That apcinc.org will have an announcement about it soon when they get the program solidified.
Will it also be on LinkedIn?
Yes, because I'll make sure it will be.
Okay. Is there going to be a cost for that?
Yes, there is. And I don't know what the fee structure is. I know that in the past for an online forum, it's usually over 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 6 hours of programming a day with breaks because so it's a lot of CFRE points if you're doing that. It's like $250 for online for those 6 hours.
For two days of content.
Yeah.
For two days of content, 12 hours of content. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. It's a pretty good ROI.
People
come to some sessions and have to miss others. We understand that.
So you reminded me of a joke that I heard recently, vetting resumes. This person wrote, I whenever I have to look at a stack of resumes, I immediately take half of them and throw them in the trash because who wants to work with unlucky people anyway?
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, that's right. It's terrible and funny all at the same time. But thankfully it's a joke. And I hope, but I'm like, my God, what kind of philosophical implications does that have? So you guys are like all of us should be doing, looking at the issues of revisiting your commitments, your values, your vision, your mission to each other and to your constituents. What else do we need to tell the listeners, my listeners, about the organization and how they can, is the organization simply for consultants and people who practice for the nonprofits or how do nonprofits themselves be in touch with the organization? And is it worth it
absolutely.
For them to do this?
We do have an ongoing series of webinars. So we have this forum that's coming up in January that's really designed for consultants in this case, because it's the business of the business. But, there'll be a non-member price. We don't care who participates. If somebody wants to reach nonprofit consultants and talk to us, this would be a way to do it. We also have sponsorship opportunities if a company wants to do that. But we have four webinars a year that are open to the general public. We do publicize those on LinkedIn. We have one coming up December 9th. It was going to be the 18th of November, but the lady has a family commitment. So December 9th, Richardson. Oh, shoot. I should know this. Edit. I'll figure it out. Presenting about leadership and how to lead through turbulent times. She is a fundraiser from the Columbus area, and she's going to talk to us about a leadership model that she has, particularly for difficult times in organizations. And that's $39 for non-members to participate in that. Anybody is going to be appropriate for CEOs, board members. C-suite executives in any nonprofit organization.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. Yes. Let's make sure we conclude that in the show notes as well. Melissa, this is fascinating stuff. If a person wanted to learn more about APC, where would you suggest they get that information?
Well, start with the website. It's still, again, it's in the process of being redeveloped. So give us some grace. We recognize that there's work to be done. We are not going to change our name, as far as I know. When we talk about rebranding, that's, you know, Giving Institute changed its name from the American Association of Fundraising Council, AAFRC. We're not going to go that far. We'll stick with APC for now. So apcinc.org, and check out where our members are. We have a white paper about how to hire a consultant as part of our service to nonprofit associations to help them learn how to make best use of consulting services. We have consultants all across the country. And then to try to join one of our events, and I'll see if you like us.
Yep.
We are committed to multi-log, I call it. Dialogue implies, you know, somebody's talking to us and there's one question at a time. But man, we ask each other questions and hard questions in every session that I've been in.
I love it. And I would encourage people to follow the LinkedIn page as well. Just search for Association of Philanthropic Council and you'll find it. Because you do share a lot of your announcements that way. So
we do share announcements and some of our members work as well. So we have one member who's written a book about how to diversify your board, for example, Rachel Hanneman. And Talem Consulting is the name of her firm, T-A-L-E-M Consulting. And she's made that available through that LinkedIn site.
Fascinating. Good stuff. Melissa, thank you. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you and learn more about the work that you do, how would you suggest they find you?
I am email responsive. Don't call me. msbrownllc@att.net.
msbrownllc@att.net.
That's correct.
Got it. And do you have a website of your own?
I do. msbrownllc.com.
.com. Easy peasy. Thank you, Melissa, for being my guest today. I think this is excellent stuff, and I'm looking forward to having more conversations with you in the future.
Mickey, I am so glad you used LinkedIn to reach out.
Thanks, Melissa.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.